You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't believe it. It's Friday night. So excited because Audrey, the Create Festival is just like it's like a week and a half or less away. Time has flown. Summer is almost here. To me, the official kickoff of summer is the Create Festival. That's all I'm saying.
I love it. Yeah. It's so exciting. And we have on the phone
a little friend of ours. Let me introduce you to my little friend.
Hey, I'm not little.
You're big and strong, and you scare me. We have We have Kim Chesney here, who runs the Create Festival.
Hi, everyone.
For us. Thanks for calling in, Kim. We appreciate it on this Friday
this
night.
Is great,
taking the time out of your busy evening.
That's right. Always a pleasure. Anything for you guys.
So, Kim, the Create Festival. What is on tap this year? First off, tell our listeners about the Create Festival. Give them the quick nuts and bolts of it, and let's jump into some of the key things that people need to participate in this year.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Create Festival, we do it every year. It's this amazing two-day festival this year, part of the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival. We bring all these people together for the celebration of innovation and creativity and technology and all the kind of fun stuff that you could imagine at this intersection between creativity and business. This year, we have four parts to it this year. It's, like, super special.
Multi-pronged.
Starting out with, super special. The Creative Industry Summit is on Wednesday, June 6th. That's it's kind of like a pre-party for the
kickoff, right?
Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're bringing in people from all around the United States and from the European Union to be part of this International Creativity Summit, talking about, you know, how creativity is changing our culture and our cities and our towns and our future and all the different roles that creativity actually has in, you know, in the lives we lead every day. So our illustrious co-host here, Audrey, is going to be moderating one of those panels.
Are you moderating the panel, Audrey?
She's, creatively.
Audrey's flexing her muscles right now. I should see her.
Creatively.
She's pumped up, yeah.
No, I mean, this is really important work. This is work that's near and dear to me over the many years.
I mean, Audrey, you brought this to the council 10 years ago.
Well, Kim and I.
Well, I'm saying you gave the spark and then gave spark to Kim. Kim then set the fire.
Well, I think the important thing that Kim is talking about here, which is so fascinating, is really about the lives we lead and the cities we build and what that means new world of work. And that's the piece that I find really interesting.
Definitely.
And that's a common thread in much of the work in terms of Create. So keep going, Kim, because there's lots of stuff going on.
Yeah,
that was a really nice little summary of it. That really does hit the heart of what we're focusing on in this event. Your panel, focusing on the future of technology and entertainment, is going to be really interesting because we can kind of talk about what those future intersection looks like and where it's going, right? So you're going to have Marianne Lombardi on your panel, who is the director of the creative economy for the whole United States, coming out of Washington, D.C. So I'm really interested to hear her perspectives. And we're also going to have some virtual reality experts and designers, and Carl Kurlander will be there. We have a fellow called Peter Rudge, who's coming in from the UK, who's done all kind of international work in this space. So that's going to be a really interesting conversation. We're also having a conversation with locally. We've got Jesse Shell from Shell Games and Ime Akwiva from Your Mom's House coming in to talk about the Imagination Age with me.
With you.
I will be moderating this.
You'll be moderating this one, Kim.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
That's
very
great.
Cool.
Yeah, so this will be a really interesting conversation. We've got two other folks from Americans for the Arts coming as well for this panel, talking about this shift, right, from the information age to the imagination age, where creativity is becoming a dominant force.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, learning from people like Jesse, I mean, he's really an example of someone who's really at the forefront there about embracing both technology and creativity to create all this change and
he's
even
one
crossing
of the,
over into the entertainment sphere as well.
He's one of the pioneers in Pittsburgh doing that.
I mean, he was, pioneers in all levels beyond Pittsburgh.
He was
doing
it before it was cool, if you know what I mean. And so, yeah.
That's right.
So, Kim, tell us about the awards portion of this.
The awards?
Yeah.
You're skipping ahead now.
Okay, I won't skip. I'm sorry. I get excited.
You're skipping so far ahead.
I know.
We've got so much between the summit and the awards.
Okay.
We can't forget about Idea Fest, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Idea Fest is, before we get to that, I do want to say one thing about the panel. I don't want to forget. Jim DeNova is moderating a panel about creative placemaking that's going to be really important. And it's a conversation about urban and rural placemaking and how important creativity is, right?
That's cool.
So that's
really important. Again, it's about cities and towns.
Kim, there's like
not leaving people behind.
There's so
much. Exactly.
There's so much going on. What's the best website for people to check this out? I think people go to
createpgh.org is the main site, or you can just go to createfestival.org and has all this information up there for you.
Exactly, because there's so much, and you can pick and choose the things you want to go to as well too. Which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah,
make
it's
a day
all
of
free
it.
And open to the public, except for the awards ceremony.
Right.
The awards ceremony in the evening is, we have a party and a big, big fun, you know, mixer, and then we're honoring our creators of the year, and I think like 100 awardee finalists this year. We have so many cool projects that people are honoring, and so we have, it's just a big fun party, and we have our creators of the year, and we have our co-creators graduating after their whole year as a cohort, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Kim, I don't know how you're keeping track of all this, because there's too much.
I know, it's a lot. It really is. My brain, every year this time, like, it tests the limits of my brain.
It does. your limits are being tested, but what I love is, by testing your brain, we're bringing people from around the world here to Pittsburgh to talk about these things. So we're mixing the local with the international. I mean, it's a big deal. I just think it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
And Kim, your leadership, you're now on a board that actually is putting us on the map as well. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, I was elected this January to the Private Sector Advisory Board for Americans for the Arts. So that was really, really exciting and a huge validation, Audrey, of the work we've been doing here. And people have so much respect for the way we've implemented this into the communities and engaged the communities in this process. It's really exciting now here in Pittsburgh. We're able to work with these different cities around the nation to, you know, implement policies and escalate and elevate the whole process of creativity and the importance and value of it when it comes to business and change and all that kind of stuff. So it's really been
people. If Andrew Carnegie was around, and if there really was an afterlife, he would be saying, good work, Kim.
Yeah.
Right?
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Right?
Very much.
That's
so.
The
That's
intersection
cool.
of science and creativity, and that was sort of his legacy.
Very much so.
It was. It's true, right? Mm-hmm. It's just sort of like a modern-day take on it. So
it's the official kickoff
really,
of summer.
It really is the kind of fulfillment of that whole legacy and you know, a pivot into the new era. So we should be really proud of the work that we've
great.
Done here and how well we are received around the nation for it.
Without a doubt. So this is all happening. Starting
the website is...
CreatePGH.org.
CreateFestival.org.
Or CreatePGH.org, right?
Either one. They'll both get you there.
That's great.
They'll take you there and learn more about it, because literally I call this the official kickoff to summer here in Pittsburgh. Hang out with the coolest, the brightest in Pittsburgh. Kim, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Kim.
We have
Thanks so much, guys.
Yeah,
see you in June.
Absolutely. We've got a great show in front of us tonight, Audrey. We have Dr. Aurora Shard coming here from the Green Building Alliance. Very excited about that. And return guest, we have not seen Greg Petro in quite a few years, giving us an update on First Insight, cool technology for retailers.
They've been working away for a while. It'd be great to catch up with him.
Absolutely. And we also have Joe Smith from Dollar Bank stopping by today to talk a little bit more about the Create Festival and talking about the Arts Festival and everything happening here coming up in June. So
it's great.
Summer's here, man. It's official. I can't believe it. So I can't wait to go watch your panel, Audrey.
It's all great.
It's going to be a good session.
The amount of energy and the recognition that we've gotten is pretty amazing. It's
fantastic stuff. I still remember the conversation in the hallway about 10 years ago about trying to explore these things. And here it is 10 years later, and we're bringing people from around the world.
I know. And Kim sits on that board.
Great, great stuff. Anyhow, keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Vuso.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council for 35 years, helping technology companies succeed. Learn more about us by going to pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you are joining us here for Tech Vibe Radio. You know, Audrey, we just got done talking to Kim Chesney, who puts together the Create Festival for us. And now we have Joe Smith here from Dollar Bank that actually, he's been since day one, he has been behind us with this event. We could not do it without Joe Smith and Dollar Bank. It's just as simple as that.
Thank you, Joe, for being here. Joe is the EVP of marketing over at Dollar Bank.
Absolutely.
And he has been a good friend.
I don't have that E yet. I'm just an SVP.
Just an SVP.
Oh, you're just an SVP. Oh,
my goodness.
I got you
it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I would appreciate it.
I got
it,
you promoted. I'm trying.
All right.
I'm trying. But he has been a deep partner with us at the Tech Council and with Create through the iterations of a decade.
For sure.
And it's really no surprise when you sort of peel it back a little bit in terms of understanding Joe Smith and his commitment to the arts. And it's been a long time, and you have a leadership role.
You know, I'm very lucky to work for Dollar Bank. You know, we're a mutual institution, and we really focus on giving back.
Right.
And when we had the opportunity to help work with the Cultural Trust to reinvent and restate, if you will, the Arts Festival, that was only shortly before we started working with the Tech Council on Create.
Exactly.
So it was a logical marriage, and we finally made it happen.
Right. You brought those together.
Yeah, exactly. But you have a vision and a commitment. Don't minimize it. You have a vision and a commitment to understanding and applying the importance of art and innovation into the fabric of the city.
Well, I believe very strongly, and I have great support from, you know, my Dollar Bank, my institution I work for, because quality of life ties very quickly to the arts. And you know, the type of issues that are going on in the city and our region right now with the strong economy, I mean, and a lot of new construction, mm-hmm. a lot of people moving into the city.
Right.
I think that has created a real opportunity for art and entertainment, culture in general, to really mm-hmm. explode. And I was at the Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council annual meeting they're convening this morning. And it was just wonderful to see. They had over 200 people from the arts that are running all these arts programs. And it's wonderful to have the foundations we have, to have the types of corporations that are part of the Tech Council, and also to have, you know, many, many organizations, you know, to support the arts. I always believe it's about inclusion. So when you talk about events such as yours and such as the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival, it doesn't work unless a lot of organizations, whether it's foundations, whether it's volunteers, whether it's companies, get behind it, because the more, the better, because it is about celebrating, you know, mm-hmm. our region, our arts, and just think about the economic impact it has to the region. You know, that's the wonderful thing about the Cultural District. They have such power in our theaters and the boom in restaurants. I mean, it's a fun place to live right now. And I think our arts and culture are a big part of that. And technology, you know, when you talk about the digital age and where we're going with the explosion of graphics and sound and, you know, what it can do in performances.
To highlight that,
it's just so exciting. And last year, we were so excited because we brought it to the August Wilson Center, which will be there as well this year. That really brought it right at ground level to folks that were coming through downtown. So we were getting people coming in.
It bookends the arts festival. It gives that end of the city a big event for your 4 days, 3 days.
It turned it up a couple notches, I think. And so that's why Audrey and I are just so excited for the event again this year, happening, of course, in June 6th and 7th.
Yeah, I think the thing that's just is so fascinating I mean, Joe, you talk about quality of life, right? And, you know, you're an arts lover, you're an arts contributor, and you're also a guy that comes out of marketing. So you have, like, this visceral sense of the importance of art. But aligning it with innovation and understanding that it really is part of the underbelly of tech and innovation is the piece that has really gotten me excited. And, you know, while I love the theater and I love music and I love all those things, it's the importance of innovation and creativity that takes us to the next iteration of business growth.
And it is the creativity. I mean, if you go to Richard Florida and the creative generation.
Right.
But when you think about having the universities we have and having the strong both engineering and technology and performance that is offered in this community, it really helps to promote creativity. And they did a study, forget what the study, but Dr. Florida was involved in it.
Okay.
But it had over 230,000 people living and working in this region were in some way involved with a creative job.
Oh, right. We did some work on that,
and,
too.
And
right.
that
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible.
When you think about, like, in the old, you know, we still, at the federal level,
exactly.
use these same codes for jobs. But those next codes, as they call it, NAIC, those codes don't reflect the new world.
No, they don't.
Not at all.
They're a few decades off at this point.
They're really a few decades off. So we're trying to, like, get inside what is work.
And I have three people right now that work for me that are pure analysts. It's all numbers, but it is the creative application of, you know, tracking Google keywords.
Right.
And you tag them and you use your... I mean,
it's the
issue of mapping out, you know, whether it's AI, artificial intelligence, or whatever, but you're always trying to map out how to meet a customer need
right.
or how to predict a customer need. And that's here now. I mean, and the application of that, whether it be an ad that attracts people to it or whether it be how you design the product to fulfill it, it requires creativity.
It really does. And, you know, the other thing is that what's really helped Pittsburgh is that we have for the small size city that we still are. And despite all the transformation and despite the fact that the age of, you know, the average person is reduced and we're having more young people here, more highly educated, the fabric of what we sit on in terms of our assets, in terms of arts and performance and alternative music, is actually what helps anchor people here.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We're still the third most heavily endowed city in America. And that pays dividends every day.
It really does, but it's also something that you can't take for granted, and you still have to feed, and that's back to the point of your leadership and Dollar Bank's leadership in the community.
I think it comes through the people you work with. It comes through the people that you meet and know, whether
that
it's
you recruit.
And I just think it is that combination of a corporate culture and a corporate strategy combined with the opportunities when you're focused on helping provide, you know, good services, financial services for us, but also the fabric that you need to have. I mean, when you look at communities like East Liberty that have just exploded back into just this unbelievable community, you see Lawrenceville going through the change. You
see,
just start spreading.
You know, Garfield Bloomfield. I mean, it's just that's what happens. Now, we also are very concerned institutionally about having adequate housing for the low to moderate.
That's the next big challenge.
You really need need to have, you know, I mean, one of the issues we all talk about is diversity, and that's another area that creativity and your Create Festival and the arts really challenge.
You just said the Create Festival. We got about a minute left. So tell us just quickly about, obviously, the Arts Festival, the Dollar Bank Arts Festival, Three Rivers Art Festival coming up. So that's basically, we kind of kick off the whole week of the Arts Festival.
Yeah, we kick off that Thursday night with the juried show that is in the Educational Center on Liberty Avenue.
Right.
And then Friday, the Arts Festival starts in a big way. We have the symphony on Sunday night, which is always a great
night to have
the symphony. And, you know, we have somebody on stage for 10 straight days. We rotate the artists out twice, so the artists change in the middle of it. So there's lots of... If you want to come down and see all the artists and walk through Gateway and walk
through
Point State
Park,
there's always something going
on. Absolutely.
And one thing I think the Cultural Trust has done that's really real positive is the emerging artists.
Yeah.
They have a number of emerging artists. It's an opportunity for everybody to get involved.
Very cool. We're all out of time. Joe Smith.
Thank you,
Dollar
Joe
Bank.
Smith.
And just remind everybody, if you just go to, of course, you could createpgh.org, you can learn all about the Create Festival and all the events that are happening. Thank you so much, Joe. You guys are the best. We could not do it without you.
Thank you very much.
Simple as that. Hey, we're taking a quick break. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Nothing finer than hanging out with Tech Vibe Radio on a Friday night, Audrey. Come on.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a great one.
I'm telling you.
This is going to be a great one. So if you're you're listening right now, do not move.
Yes.
Do not move. Don't because play. We have Dr. Aurora Sherrard in the house. Green Building Alliance. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Talking about some really important stuff.
Yeah.
Really quickly, let everyone know what Green Building Alliance is, so then we can dive into some questions.
So Green Building Alliance is your regional green building and sustainable community organization. We work to help every place be sustainable so every person can thrive. We've been around for 25 years.
25 years?
Yep. Serving
How long
Pittsburgh
have you been
and Western
there?
PA. I've been at GBA for almost 11 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What were you doing
That's
before
great.
That? Yeah.
What was I doing before that? Yeah. I was a grad student at Carnegie Mellon in civil and environmental engineering and a geotechnical engineer in New Orleans.
So we're thrilled to have you. Yeah. It's good that this region has you. So let's dive in a little bit. So one of the things is people may be surprised that Pittsburgh sees itself as one of America's emerging green or sustainable centers of the country, which sometimes can be a little incongruent in terms of lots of different news sources. What makes us a region with a reputation like that?
I mean, here in the Pittsburgh region, I think our legacy goes back a long time. We were one of the first regions to actually put in clean air protections, you know, even before there was a federal clean air law. You know, we had industry.
Was that Caligari?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. Mayor Carter.
I've only lived in Pittsburgh for 15 years, so your like deep Pittsburgh history is a lot.
No, mine's 2 years longer than yours. So.
We'll ask Jonathan. What do you think, Jonathan?
I go back and I do believe Caligari was part of something with
okay,
that.
Okay, there you go.
It might have been
done.
Prior to him. I think this is a long time ago.
I cannot
yeah,
confirm
a long time ago.
But okay. I do know in the 1940s when the first Renaissance came, part of it was air quality.
Yes,
was the first thing
yes.
I
and
I
the Allegheny
saw,
Conference
so.
Was a big part of
yes.
that back in the day.
Great.
Both cleaning up Pittsburgh's air, water, our land, you know, we still have legacy brownfields today.
Right.
We were at the crux as a place.
We were
the
first city to really tackle that head on and successfully did so. And now we're doing it again.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And we do it all the time. We're constantly reinventing ourselves, you know, literally inventing things here in the region across all sorts of sectors. And that's what the story that we're trying to tell with Pittsburgh Green Story.
And so how do we rank among other cities when it comes to sustainability?
That's a really loaded question.
We want it answered now.
Yeah, and it depends on who's ranking us and what they're considering and how they're weighting those things.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a numbers person.
Good.
You're calling me Dr. Sherrard
sometimes. That's right.
So I have a PhD in life cycle assessment, so I'm all about the numbers, but those numbers are all about context.
Uh-huh.
So depending on where we rank, you know, we're on plenty of lists, most livable city, you know, top, like, you know, place to visit and things like that. But, you know, if you rank us in green buildings in 2005, for instance, we ranked top in the nation. Most green buildings, most square footage.
Wow.
Today, we're only in the top 30 as a metro region.
So people caught up and surpassed us.
So we were out there early, but we just don't have the level of construction that other places have.
Exactly.
If you look in terms of air quality, we're like at the bottom nationally and in terms of urban areas, but we have a long way to go and we've come a long way and we're making progress there. So I think it just depends on what you're looking at and why.
Especially when you say context. It's just so important around that. So
when you travel around the country, which I imagine you do in your work, and you talk to people from all other cities, what can you say like you're most proud of in terms of our accomplishments in the space of sustainability?
I mean, there are so many things. I'm not sure I can pick
can you give
just
us like,
one.
Can you give us
give
five?
Give us a few, yeah.
Give us five, okay.
Give us five.
We'll take an assortment.
And I don't know if I would say most proud of versus like things that are hot right now.
Okay.
That, you know, maybe that we're thinking
Throw
about.
Throw them out there and we'll just start riffing off of
So I'll start with something that's like near and dear to my heart, which is Green Building Alliance and what we do. We have the Pittsburgh 2030 District. It's this literal imaginary district where we drew a boundary around downtown, uptown, Oakland. We have 506 buildings totaling 81.7 million square feet.
Wow.
Committed to 50% reductions in energy use, water use, and transportation emissions.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, by 2030. So that's a big project. We're the largest of 19 2030 districts in North America.
That is quite the undertaking.
It's a great project.
That's a great objective.
Yes, it's great. And we have over 100 property partners as part of that, plus 42 community and resource partners. That's a Pittsburgh effort. And that really thrives on what Pittsburghers do best, which is collaborate and really make progress towards the goal that they have in mind.
So 2030, we want to report back on where this is.
Well, so we report annually for the 2030 Absolutely. District in aggregate. We just did that a few weeks ago.
That's great.
Just so people know where we are and how we stack up.
So are we making the progress that
we
you're
are making
to make?
Progress?
That's awesome.
Yeah,
Very
both
cool.
on energy, water. We actually were the first district to adopt an indoor air quality protocol, mm-hmm. which we released about a month ago. Just really tracking what people are doing in the region there, and so you know we spend about 90% of our time indoors.
Right.
With our outdoor air quality being challenged, what are we doing with that, and how are we actually handling all of that?
I worry about that. I worry about these buildings that don't have windows that you can open.
Well, so that's actually, for indoor air quality, that's a double-edged sword.
Is it better to keep the air and so you can clean it and filter it as opposed to have more dirty air come in?
It depends.
I like a breeze, though. I like a breeze.
It depends is the answer. So I'll call out the tower at PNC is actually a really great example of a building that has a dynamic facade. So when the air quality is good and the temperature is good and the humidity is good, they can open up the facade.
I've been there.
Let the natural air come in. That actually saves them energy. It makes people more comfortable. That's great. But when they actually use sensors to tell when it's not a good temperature, when air quality is bad, when it's going to rain, all those things, they can close it up, button it up tight, filter the air, and
does it ever open up then?
Certainly opens up.
Wow, yes.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, it's actually doing great. When you're in downtown, you can actually see, they call them the poppers and floppers, open up.
The
poppers and floppers. Yeah,
I've been in there.
It's really neat. Have you walked into the facade? It's a double facade. You can open up a door and walk in. It's really cool.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's
Very
really
cool.
great.
Yeah.
So, what, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, there's so many dimensions to this. We could have you on for a long time. But can you provide a few examples that make us rank really great?
Yeah. So the Pittsburgh 2030 district is one where we certainly rank. I would say what the city of Pittsburgh is doing right now with its Pittsburgh Climate Action Plan, nobody really ranks climate action plans per se, beyond the Climate Disclosure Project and ACEEE. But this is actually under consideration for city council right now. The city is considering adopting a 100% renewable energy supply by 2035, a 50% reduction in energy use, water use, 100% fossil fuel free fleet, zero waste, so 100% diversion by landfill, and a fossil fuel divestment strategy for the city of Pittsburgh retirement funds by the year 2030.
Ooh.
So
that
really
exciting.
Puts us in a class with a whole bunch of international cities
in a
way that, you know, is really citywide, but also, you know, starts to bleed out into the region and trying to move all of the greater Pittsburgh.
It's creating really interesting business opportunities for people to help meet those goals.
Exactly.
You know, I think of like Optimus Technologies where they convert to bio. I mean, if they're going to do a whole, all their fleet's going to be, you know, on renewables. Like,
exactly.
There's some small businesses here that could really stand to make some good money here.
So there are small businesses like Hybersense, which is doing technologies and controls for heating and cooling, where they're using things like that. You've also got, you know, folks like Windstacks, which has wind turbines and they're doing
the
microgrids. You have solar really starting to take off in the region. And it goes all the way through to companies like Pitt, Ohio, which is they have an on-site microgrid. They have Windstacks turbines. They have solar. They have 5 geothermal.
They got the whole thing.
Yeah,
I know.
Everything for a trucking company. And they're looking at making their trucking fleet more efficient. And they have LEED certified buildings. So it's really, you know, that's what Pittsburgh Green Story is all about, is where these things are happening in sometimes unlikely places and just shining a light on those.
That's so cool. We need to have you on more often to keep updates on this stuff, because there's so much good work happening here.
Well, we're constantly updating PittsburghGreenStory.org. We have a Twitter feed. Actually, the goal of the project is to reach out to national journalists and start to put those stories in the hands of people who are writing all these other great stories about Pittsburgh and saying, look, environment is a really big part of this. On the business side, on the water side, on the mobility side, even on the food and the fashion.
Right.
There are lots of great stories and great people.
And so when Al Gore came,
I
think that made a difference in terms of us being on the map after he was here.
I think it made a real difference for Pittsburghers. I think there were 1,600 people in that room for 3 days with Al Gore, which was amazing. I was there. A lot of GBA staff were there. I saw heads of public institutions and other things, really learning from people around the globe about how to talk about climate change with different audiences and really get people to start to understand what that means for our planet, because
and
we only have one planet,
context. Very cool.
So,
I love it, man. We've got time for a few more questions.
We do. So Let's talk about air a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
I was hoping you'd go there because I wanted to talk about air.
Well, I'm going to talk about air because I think one of the things that we talked about before we started the show was this whole notion of contextuality.
Mm-hmm.
And very often today we're just existing in a world of snippets of information. So sort of give your perspective on, you know, air quality, some of the sensors, some of the things that peel it back a little bit so that people can really understand how we are today, what are some of our obstacles, what are some of the good things?
In 2 minutes or less.
In 2 minutes or less, perfect.
It's like the test before you leave.
So the Pittsburgh region has come a long way in terms of air quality. We still have a lot of regional challenges, both within the region and being downwind from other things. But we need to own that ourselves. We have point sources, industrial sources within the city and the greater region that we really need to get out in front of. But we also need to get outside of our mobile sources, right? How are we getting to work? What types of vehicles are we using? Are we using alternative transport? Are we getting on our bikes? All those bike lanes that we have, those are really important for actually making our outdoor air better. And so I think all of those things are really important. There's some great tech startups in the regions that are starting to glom on this with this, including Smell PGH app from the Carnegie Mellon Create Lab, just as a way to engage people with public data and actually, you know, try to move the region into positive places. And we have the same challenges in terms of potable water, our rivers, our brownfields. And so as a region, as we're looking at these things, I think the really important part is other places are also working with these same challenges around the world. So we get calls at GBA and our partner organizations and the city of Pittsburgh being part of 100 Resilient Cities. Mm-hmm. They get calls from places around the world on any number of these topics about what are you doing here? What should we be doing? How did you make this happen?
Right.
And a lot of people look to Pittsburgh to really learn how to make these things happen.
Because it really has been transformational.
Yeah, it has. And I think we should be really proud of ourselves as a region.
It doesn't mean that we
come a long
stop.
Way.
Yes, exactly. We've come a long way and we still have a long way to go.
Very much so. So, Pittsburgh Green Story.
Yes.
GottaGoThere.com. Check it out because really, this is where you can really see the progress and see what's going on. There's so much and you can really nerd out on it there and get involved as well, too, which is what really needs to happen.
Exactly. So. And if you've got a story that we should be telling, let us know. Yeah. We post press releases for the region. We reach out to media.
Right.
And I guarantee you're going to be surprised by something you see on that site. Because I was, and I thought I knew a lot of what was going on.
And you do. You are the thought leader on that here.
Thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. It's important work, and it matters to the work that we all do.
Yes.
So thank you.
I love Pittsburgh, and we're just trying to get more people to love it here and understand what we all do.
Absolutely. Dr. Aurora Sherrard, Green Building Alliance, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I swear, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us, pghtech.org. I tell you what, Audrey, it's been way too long since we've had stop by the show. I know.
This is great.
4 or 5 years, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Greg Petro.
I can't wait to catch up with you.
Hey, guys.
Nice
great, to see you again.
Greg Petro.
This is great.
Yeah. So glad you're stopping out. From First Insight.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are rocking and rolling these days.
You were doing work in this space, I remember, before anyone was really thinking about it. So tell everyone what you're up to right now.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I was just thinking about that on the way here. It's been a little over 11 years when we founded the company, right? And been working on it for, I think, a couple of years prior to that. So it's been a long time.
Big chunk of your life there to get this thing up and going. So tell the listeners, just the basic elevator pitch of what First Insight's all about.
Sure.
And the problems that you solve for retailers.
Well, you know, we founded the space 11 years ago about the idea of using predictive analytics in retail. And
what were you thinking back then?
Machine learning,
crazy. Predictive analytics?
I know. But you came out of retail, right?
We did. I did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we took that and our background about supply chain management and understanding what people, how to forecast products and demand, and married the two together and came up with a great idea around the concept of forecasting products with no history and how can we help retailers and brands figure it out.
Exactly.
But what it's led to is we're now, I think, and have been told we're the world's largest listening and understanding platform, right?
Listening and understanding platform.
Wait,
I've never heard of that.
A guy from South Oakland.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. A local native, right?
Really
shaking
local.
Shaking it up.
Sure.
Shaking it up.
Trying to revolutionize the retail industry.
So talk about now, okay?
Yep.
So talk about who your clients are, if you can say who they are, sure, or you can talk about what problems you really have solved.
Yeah, so a lot's changed since we last spoke, I think, know. And we were here. Our company has grown pretty significantly. We actually are proud to be headquartered here in Pittsburgh up in Warrendale.
Yes, sir.
And we have a wholly owned subsidiary in the UK in London and one in India in Chennai.
Yeah.
So we're in 30 countries.
30 countries. 30 That's countries, so amazing. I love hearing that.
Really?
Yeah.
So global
company.
Did you
ever think that you were going to leave South Oakland and go to 30 countries?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think, you know, we've been able to be fortunate enough to build a great team. The technology is fantastic and has continued to expand itself and grow in many ways from an innovative perspective. And I think that, fortunately, the industry really is in a need. So consequently, the market has grown substantially for us. And right now, we're only focused on North America and Europe, just getting our feet wet in the Asia-Pacific rim, right? And so we'll see where it goes. I think this is a truly a global problem, and understanding what consumers want is, you know, very valuable.
I mean, that's what makes success or not at the end of the day. And retail's been shaken up severely.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you've got the Amazon, you've got the Walmarts, everyone's gobbling up brick and mortar. What do you predict?
Yeah, so, you know, I've written for Forbes now for, I guess, a little over four, maybe 5 years around the investment side of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've spoken about quite a bit is the idea that the industry is sort of the Charles Dickens tale, the best of times and worst of times. It depends on what side of the coin that you're
right.
on.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
The reality is the overall industry is good, right? So it's growing year over year and has been for some time. That concept of a retail apocalypse is pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said in some presentations recently in New York, you don't walk around and see a bunch of naked people. People are still buying clothing.
People still buying jeans and shirts and belts and socks and shoes.
And at the same time,
I like the analogy.
Yeah,
it's a very, very literal way of making your point.
But the reality is that they are shifting their behaviors in many different ways. And some companies are pivoting well enough and others aren't. And some are attacking the problem very aggressively. And consequently, there are clear definition of winners and losers. And you're seeing that in store
right.
closings.
We're seeing that, right?
So,
and we're seeing the kind of aggregation,
mm-hmm.
you know, even Walmart going out and buying companies and then putting brick and mortar up.
Right.
Which is really like Bonobos.
Yeah, Jet, and the fact that they bought Jet.
Right.
So to compete from the online business side. But, you know, this is a business that's been cyclical. Before there was Amazon and before there was Walmart, there was Sears. Right. And we're seeing
that Kmart, right.
And Montgomery Ward. Right. So you can go back.
I forgot about that company.
Wow, right. Yeah. Hills Department Store here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, really? I never heard of that. Okay.
Wasn't there a Gold Circle?
A Gold Circle.
Yeah. Gold Circle.
I remember a Gold Circle.
See. So, you know, the industry goes through these transformations, but the essence is the companies that have been able to succeed are the ones that evolve with the consumer.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's the fundamental challenge. The one thing that's very interesting that's changed dramatically is the advent of the mobile device that really has become ubiquitous, the smartphone.
So, like, right? I can buy stuff, right?
And they can research it. They can find
mm-hmm.
it. Right. And they can be social about it. So no longer are they looking to experts at trends. It's very analogous to the music industry, very analogous to the investment, where it went from centralized decision making to very dispersed.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Greg Petro from First Insight up there in Warrendale. Thanks for coming down here to hang out with us tonight.
A global company.
Yeah.
You're in 30 different countries, right?
Amazing.
That's really amazing. And some of your customers are
Our customers are, you know, we have the largest bridal, and David's Bridal has been our customer for a long time. Dick's Sporting Goods, Old Navy and The Gap.
Wow.
Let's see. Most recently, Vineyard Vines, Lilly Pulitzer.
That's a lot of retail.
Route 21.
Yeah, you just signed Route 21.
Right up the street.
I saw
exactly.
the press release on that a few weeks ago.
Yep.
So you're doing business here and everywhere
else. Are you looking to hire?
We are. We're actually, we have been growing, you know, locally and then nationally and internationally. So our company has grown pretty significantly over the last several years. We've doubled our engineering here in Pittsburgh and abroad as well. So we're always looking for great folks and talent in and around the sales, account management, and engineering side.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited because when we thought about setting this up, you know, more than a decade ago, I think there were a lot of questions about whether Pittsburgh was ready for a great software company. And boy, time has changed quite dramatically, right?
Kind of. How many people are working in Pittsburgh now?
You know, that's hard to say right off the top. As I think about it, it's more than, I want to say, 60 here in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chunk of people right there.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
That's great. So what's on the horizon? What are we going to hear from you in a year?
What's next?
Yeah, so, well, we launched recently a solution called Elasticast, which was, you know, a funny name, kind of interesting name. But
Elasticast,
it's really,
say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Incredibles almost, right?
Exactly, but, exactly.
It's about forecasting price elasticity without history. So
that's what everyone wants.
To understand where and how consumers are going to respond to products at what price. But really, I think as the future moves forward, you know, it's marrying the data that we provide foundationally to companies with the continued advent of AI, augmented reality. And so as you can envision, the idea of utilizing IoT devices and phones like your, you know, smartphone, the visual capability of that in an augmented reality and then predictive analytics. And I often said this years ago.
So cool.
It was great in Hollywood when they made the movie Minority Report. Some good, some bad things about that. But the idea was that you could have information rendered to you in a way that you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And make it actionable and accessible.
Right. Yeah. And allow the access to that type of information. I think that's our, you know, blue sky,
right?
Shoot for the moon.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it'll be one step, incremental step at a time.
Yeah. So this summer, right around the corner, is the Vintage Grand Prix, staple of Pittsburgh.
Let's just jump right into that.
I'm just jumping right into it. It's one of my favorite things about Pittsburgh. Every summer, I got to take a car up and hang out and watch great cars go by. And so you're a racer, man.
I am.
I think that's very exciting. And you told us we're going on air that you have a Turner.
Yeah.
It's not a mark that you hear about very often.
It isn't. It's pretty unique, right? It's a handmade car in the UK. 63 Turner, and it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. We're inviting our family, our friends, all of our employees, our customers. And the idea and concept that, you know, it's a great event that goes to a good cause, autism, and you know, one of the fastest growing disorders in our country and I think globally. And we're proud to be a part of that and help support it.
And they're going to come watch you race.
Fun. So, you got to look for the first Insight car, first logo.
Look for the Turner.
Yeah.
One last question. We've got to wrap it up. And I hate it because I've run out of time too fast. So, like, what parallels, like, the skills of racing and the strategy behind racing a car, an old vintage car, to, like, growing a business?
Yeah, you know,
like
that's
first Insight.
It's a great question, Joe.
Can you rev match first Insight if you want to?
Yeah, you can do that heel-toe.
Heel-toe it.
I think the best analogy or best learning out of racing, when I was getting my instruction and my racing license, was my instructor said, you have a very wide view, right? And that's often spoken about, but the reality and the challenges are to be able to look around the corner and be able to see. Your perspective has got to be very, very broad.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do when you're focused on a goal.
Exactly.
So
interesting. Wow, that's some good
stuff.
Keep
it wide and narrow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you got to look at, you know, find the goal and then focus on it.
Maybe. Right.
You see one apex here, but
set
up for the other apex around the other corner. So
right around the corner.
Very cool. So quick website for First Insight.
Yeah, www.firstinsight.com.
Just that simple. Greg Petro from South Oakland, making Pittsburgh proud.
Thank you.
We're
very
proud of you.
Cool stuff,
you
man.
Much.
Anyhow, another Tech Vibe Radio under our belt, Audrey. That's why we love doing the show. We hang out with guys like Greg Petro over here, man. So every single Friday night, bringing you the best, what's making Pittsburgh tick. That's for sure. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. After all that, have a great weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.